Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. This is Elder Denise Bryson. I am your host, and we will be starting our teaching in just a few minutes. We are so thankful for all of you that will be calling in, those of you that will be logging in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later. We're so thankful for you. We thank you for you joining us here on Blog Talk Radio, where we're endeavoring to teach the foundational teaching. Our topic has been started last week. Elder Dotson started teaching consecration, and so he will continue with that topic until the Lord says something different. And so we're going to continue on with that. But as right now, we're going to start out with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We praise you, we glorify you, and we magnify your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your divine revelation and your divine protection, your divine supply, oh God, I thank you. Lord, we ask you to bless all of those who have been affected by school shootings, oh Father, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to keep the children, oh God, as they get out of school, Father. We ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one, Lord Jesus, that they will have a safe summer, God. Bless their parents, Father, in the name of Jesus. We rebuke child molestation and child abuse, and we rebuke spousal abuse, and we rebuke child neglect, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch every administrator and every teacher, every education employee, oh God, in the Department of Education, all over this country and all over this world. We ask you to touch them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless each and every one, Lord, as we continue to move forward in life, oh God. Bless us, Lord Jesus, through life circumstances. And bless us, Father, that we will be blessed by your mercy and by your grace. Oh God, I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you and I magnify your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So I am waiting for Elder Dotson to come on the line, but nevertheless, I guess I have to be prepared at all things. That's why the Bible tells us, be ready at all times. I'm not sure what's going on, but anyway, we were talking about consecrated life on last week, and so many good things came out of that particular teaching of him talking about how, you know, we have to be consecrated and we have to be committed and we have to want to be in the presence of God. The priests get in, they worship God, then they praise God. They get in the presence of God because they have understood that the presence of God is where the fullness of joy is, and that's where that is where healing can take place and all kinds of things can come forward. So we're so thankful for that. For the presence of God and being along with that. I had been talking about earlier on, and we had so many lessons. We've talked about seeking God, which I've talked about early in our lesson, and I'm trying just to talk about something until he gets on here. I'm trying to make a call, see where he is. We talked about seeking God first. Here they are right here. So anyway, we talked about seeking God, and now we begin to talk about consecration. And we're so thankful. Praise the Lord, Elder Dotson. How are you?
Praise the Lord. Doing well. How's everybody?
Everybody's doing wonderful. So thankful for you being on the line. I was trying to fill in until you got doing my fill in. I was getting started running my mouth. But I'm so thankful for you being on the line today. And us continuing in this awesome topic. I was just telling the radio listening audience of how wonderful it was and how well you taught the lesson on last week and how we enjoyed it, and for them to go back and listen to the broadcast if they didn't hear it and they're just coming on for the first time. You have to hear that, and I will. I think it's already out there on our Prospering Souls page, but they need to hear it because it was such a blessing. So anyway, I'm going to hand it over to you and for you to go from here.
Awesome, awesome. Lord, the Lord is blessing his people, and he's blessing them with increase and abundance. And I wish that for everyone that is listening. I pray that for all of our teachers, that God would increase them and give them abundance. Amen. One thing that we need to cover is, excuse me, what consecration is. Consecration is to set apart as holy for religious use, to devote, dedicate, to regard with deep respect, reverence, if you please, with love, hallowed, sacred purpose. Also, we noted that consecration is a way of making the Lord your habitation. By your practices in consecration, you become habitual in the things of God. Now, that's deep. For one to become habitual in righteousness, for one to become habitual in love, what are we saying when we say habitual? It becomes habit. And it becomes a constant habit. Another thing that we want to let you know as far as consecration, to be consecrated, a person, it can be a person, a place, or a thing for sacred work deserving great respect and reverence. To be consecrated is to have focus, to bring into a common center your thoughts and efforts. Now, I'm going to connect something here. What I was talking about with the habitual brings you in, it brings the Lord into your habitation and brings you into His. And you become habitual if you keep up, you know, the consecration motives and methods. It brings you into a common place with God. Now, what would be a common place with God? A spiritual atmosphere. Your consecration brings you into God's commonplace, which is what? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do I have an amen from somebody? And that is where we all need to be, because the Bible says that that is where we're supposed to be. Amen, somebody. Do we have any comments on that? One thing that I would like to take you to, there's some scriptures that I would like to take you to. Excuse me. Scripture in Exodus 19:6. Thank you. Where the Lord was speaking, and I believe this is concerning consecration and a consecrated time. It says in Exodus 19:6. Let me get to that. Did I lose it? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm still trying to find it. Please forgive me. Okay, I have it now. 19:6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. He's speaking to Israel and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The Lord is talking to Moses. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Number 8 says, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now look at the 9th verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. Now, one thing I want you to know, that the thick cloud represents the glory of God. But the glory of God will not come till the people say, we'll do what you say, Lord. Consecration, a consecrated heart, a consecrated mind, wants to do the will of the Lord. When the will of the Lord is on your mind, on your heart, it brings the Lord into your space. As I was telling you before, if you want to come into God's space and him into yours, consecrate. You come into that common place where the Lord dwells. And he brings his glory. Let's finish what it says. In a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. How long? Forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. What will this represent? What will this do? The Lord said, when I speak out of this thick cloud, they can't see me, but they'll hear you, and they'll be confident in what you say because you're letting them know what I say. They're respectively receiving what you say, Moses, and they're reverencing me because I'm the one that told you. Consecration brings in the favor of God. It brings in a confidence and a surety that people need to believe in the Lord God. And this is what he was saying in that verse. I'm going to speak through the thick cloud, and the people will believe, and the people will believe thee forever. They won't doubt the words that you say, because they know that what you're bringing to them came straight from me. Do we have any comments on that?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We'll go on. The words of the Lord are definite.
Yes.
The Bible says that the words that I speak, the Lord speaking, are yea and nay. Yea and amen, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Which means that word is true and infallible and so. Hallelujah. And the people said they will do what the Lord says. They said in the 8th verse, we will do. And what this created was that connection with God, a fulfillment of covenant that God made with his people. I will be your God.
Yes.
All you need to do is stand true to what I ask you. Be obedient.
Yes.
And be fervent in what you believe me to do for you. I am God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What? Something I want you to look at. Excuse me again. I'm clearing my throat. A symbol and a representation is given when we speak on some things that the Lord showed me here. I'm trying to see where they're at. I believe it's in 19 and 6. Read that for me, Phil, to yourself. About the anointed oil, I believe it's in 19 and 6. I know, down a little further. In that chapter, I wanted to bring out some symbols of representation that the Bible places, and I feel that they represent consecration or a person consecrating themselves to God. Israel was told to anoint. I let you know before that consecration and to consecrate yourself was a form of anointing yourself with oil. They anointed captains, they anointed lords in inheritance, and they anointed kings. King David was anointed, and there are certain things that they used to represent an anointing or a consecrated act. The anointing oil was a point of contact between man and God.
Yeah.
They used bullocks for a sin offering, and the symbol or the representation of a bullock, what does that mean? It's a young bull, not castrated, which means they castrated the bulls so that they would be submissive. So here's a young bull, unsubmissive, wild in nature, and not domesticated. It's not used to people. Now, in what respect or what representation does that mean to the people of God in consecration? It means that your wild acts are not received by God. Sinful acts are not received by God.
Amen.
And it also shows that what Israel did in the olden days. They were, part of their religion was circumcision, which showed that they were cutting off the foreskin, which means that they were separating from the things of the world. Well, these young bulls were used to symbolize that we're getting rid of the wild nature. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
And we're...
Yeah.
We're getting rid of the wild nature, and we're submitting unto the nature of God.
Yes, yes.
Consecration brings you into the nature of God. We're not separating... we're separating ourselves from the old man, and we're taking on the new man.
Yes.
Separating ourselves from sin, and we're with open arms, we're accepting a life of righteousness.
Yes.
Another representation that is used will be the two rams. Now, the rams were used and they were highly exalted. It was an animal that was always picked when you would go into deep consecration. They were highly exalted and they were highly popular. What are you trying to say with that, Brother Dotson? The symbol of God using a ram, where do you get that from? You have to go to Abraham.
All right.
What did Abraham tell his son? God will provide.
Yes. Yes, he will.
His son, go ahead.
No, go on. I just said, yes, he will. He will do it. He'll provide it.
God will provide. When you go into a consecrated mind and consecrated heart, you're saying to God, I know without a doubt you will provide. And using the rams was letting God know, I'm not just going to use anything to sacrifice unto you. I'm going to take the most popular thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the highest thing exalted. I'm going to take my body. I'll even go so far as to say this was a representation of the scripture that states, give your whole body unto God. Sacrifice. I'm going to have Phyllis look for that scripture and say that scripture because it goes with this, I believe.
Okay.
Whole sacrifice, which is your reasonable
service. Yes, she's going to find that scripture. We're going to say it because it goes with this. Something that the Lord has put on my heart. But this is the representation that is given, saying that, Lord, I want to present to you the highest exalted thing, not higher than you, but the most exalted thing that I can on the earth, which would be two rams. Not one, but two. Because
yeah.
I'm honoring you. I'm honoring you, and this I'll go so far as to say this was a representation of the heart, the giving of a heart when you give rams in sacrifice. The next symbol of representation I want to give that is biblical is the basket of unleavened bread. Now, what significance does this have? The unleavened bread was before yeast was added to it, and before it was fermented.
Yeah.
Now, Israel only ate unleavened bread during the year of Passover, when everything was forgiven. There's something you have to do in consecrating yourself. Before I go any further, we want to tell you it was Romans 12:1 says, read it for me.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
I believe this verse connected with the giving of those rams.
Yes.
Were you saying, Lord, I have nothing more to give. How about I give myself?
Yes.
It's a symbol, but what it represents is you giving yourself. Oh my!
Yes.
I hope you grabbed hold of that.
Yes.
I'm gonna give my whole body when I consecrate. I'm going to give my whole body solely unto thee, O Lord. My consecration will benefit my relationship.
Yes. We got to dedicate our heart to God. If we're going to consecrate, our heart has to be dedicated to God. And so with that
being said,
that means that you're conscious, your willing decision is to dedicate your soul, your mind, your heart, and your body to God.
The whole entire part of you.
Yes.
Has been given unto God. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Because if we think about when they were consecrating, they were putting sacrifice on the altar. Certain parts of those animals they couldn't lay on the altar.
That's right.
And it's just
That's
like
right.
When Abel, he brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain because he gave, something different than what Cain did. His heart, the heart of his gift, his sacrifice to consecrate was different.
That's right. That's right. When we're talking about consecration, we're talking about a heart dedicated to God.
Yes.
You're serving him with your whole heart when you consecrate your mind and your heart. You're giving over your will to his will.
Yes.
And in dealing with that, when we get to the symbol or the representation of the unleavened bread, this was bread before yeast was added, before it was fermented.
Mm-hmm.
And the Israelites ate this during the year of Passover.
Yes.
What does this have to do, and how does this represent my consecration unto the Lord? It does it in this way. The bread before the yeast was added or before fermentation was pure bread. It was a pure state. It was purged. It was clean. Your consecration is your devotion unto
mm-hmm.
God,
mm-hmm.
your devotion unto his word, your commitment to the use,
yes.
your commitment to be used by God is in your consecration. Does somebody want to add to that?
I think we'll
it
see
is a, pure state of mind, pure state of heart. You're purged and you're clean. Turn to 1 Corinthians 5 and 7.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 5 and 7. You got that? I want you to read it for me, Phyllis. We're talking about purely and wholly consecrating yourself unto God. Getting in a state of mind, getting in a state of heart, and making it a state of being. As we had said in our first lesson last Sunday, to be consecrated is a way of life.
Yes.
You can't be consecrated today and not consecrated tomorrow. It's a thing whereas you have to do it every day. Paul said, I die when? How many times?
Daily.
How much?
Yeah, daily. Daily.
He did what? He died. And what was he dying to?
The flesh. Daily. That's what it says.
He died to that flesh daily because he knew he couldn't be consecrated unless he did it.
Yes, daily. It's a
Hallelujah.
Daily walk. It's not every time, every other day. It's a daily situation. Glory to God.
My God.
1 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us."
Yes.
Even as Christ was sacrificed for you, you got to purge yourself. He was our Passover. He was our sacrifice. He was clean. And you got to take out those things that are not like God to the cross. You got to take out that old leaven. You got to remove yourself from it so you can be clean, so that God can use you. Purged and clean, that he might have a new vessel.
A new vessel.
A clean vessel to use. We're going to read verse 8 for you here.
"Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth."
Yes.
So to be consecrated means to be sincere and speak the truth.
Yes.
Consecration brings sincerity and truth. Oh, my God. Isn't it something to be consecrated?
Yes.
To give yourself wholly to the use of God. It's something we all need to do.
Yes.
It's something we all need to do. And in doing so, God is magnified, glorified, and has ultimate praise in your living and in your giving and in your doing. God is praised. Hallelujah. Do I have a witness?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
One thing I want to bring to your mind or bring to your understanding is this. When you choose to be consecrated, made your decision. Hallelujah. I feel the power of God here. When you've made your decision to be consecrated, that's what you want to do. That's how you want to live. You're saying like Paul, "For God I live and for God I die." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn to Psalms 91 and 1. And this is what happens when you make that decision. Hallelujah. Psalms 91 and 1 starts off in this way.
"He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty."
You have consecrated and entered into the secret place of the Most High. Remember we were saying before, you have respectfully come into a common place with God. You've entered into that secret place. And the next verse says,
"I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength." I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust.
You made your commitment. You have said that in him you will trust. What have you done? You've now committed yourself to a lifestyle of knowing that the Lord has your back. He's going to have your back. The next verse.
"Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler."
There it is.
"And from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday.
Mm-hmm.
A thousand shall fall at thy side,
they gonna fall,
and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
There it is. You've made the Lord, your God, your habitation. It has become commonplace and habitual with you. You're walking in righteousness and observing God's glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is what a consecrated life develops. This is what a consecrated life brings. It brings Psalm 91 into revelation and into your heart and into your attitude.
Yes.
And the Lord becomes your shield and your buckler. What does that mean? He's fighting for you.
Yes.
You don't have to put on the armor. He's fighting for you and protecting you. Hallelujah. Just because you have chosen to consecrate.
Yes.
My God. Consecration builds confidence. Listen to me. Confidence, not arrogance, but confidence.
Mm-hmm.
What is confidence? A surety.
Yes.
I am sure that the Lord will deliver.
Yes.
Turn to Hebrews 3. I don't know how much time we have, but my God, this is beautiful to know. That in consecration, all this will come about. Listen.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
People of God, if you are not seeking the Holy Ghost, seek the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost brings the confidence in seeking God.
Yes.
You've got to seek God, because the Bible says, if you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door shall be open. Ask, and it shall be given. Was it David that says, as a heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. There's power in seeking God.
Yes.
Oh, can I say that one more time? There's power in seeking God.
Yes.
Because you've chosen to be with him and for him to be with you. So consecration builds your confidence in the word of God and in the things of God. Hebrews 3 and 12.
Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end.
Yes.
While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation.
Yes.
Those that choose not to consecrate have doubts, they have fears, they have unbelief, and restlessness. They have doubts, they have fears, They have unbelief and restlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And an unbelieving heart, what's the Bible say about it?
Mm-hmm.
You got to believe.
You got to believe.
You got to believe he is God.
Yes.
And you can't be restless when it comes
no.
to the things of God.
No.
Because you have to rest in him.
Exactly. Because God, what he don't want us to be is like a wave. He don't want us to be like the ocean, the waves going to and fro. We got to be steadfast.
No.
We got to be still when it comes to God. When we believe
you
God,
gotta
we got to believe. Yeah, regardless of what we see.
And our pastor was preaching today. He said, you got to be still to see the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to be still to see his power. Sometimes you
yes.
have to be still to see him move. But know that he's there with you in whatever you're going through.
Yeah. And it's
because
so
he will be.
It's
Go
so
ahead.
It's so interesting about this. Bishop was preaching today. He was telling us how that God is hungry. And the way we feed God is by giving him our body, our lips, and our, I wrote it down, our body, our lips, and our, oh, Lord, let me get my paper. Our body, our lips, and our
get your notes.
Yeah, I got my notes. We was looking at our body. He said our body, he gave the same scripture you just gave, Romans 12:1. And then he said because, he said our lips, because God is a communicator. And so he said that we have to communicate with God. We communicate with him through our praise and through our worship and through things like that. That's how we're feeding God. We feed God through that. And then by presenting our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And then the treasure is what you value determines what you're worth. And so you have to make the investment with the sacrifices. And that's how you get to the other thing. Come on. Same thing you tell us today about consecration. We have to make an invest. We have to set ourselves aside with consecration in order to be able to get to the things of God. It's just how it has to happen.
It is how it has to happen. With every sacrifice, what are you saying? You make an investment.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
You've invested your time in consecration. You've invested time. You've invested your resources. You've invested, here we go, your giving.
Yes.
Into the furthering of the kingdom. Do you think that God is not going to reward you?
Exactly.
He said he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Well, you can seek him in your giving.
You sure can. First of all, God said we're to consecrate the tithe and the offering.
Yes, we are.
Consecrated.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Listen, saints of God. When you're consecrating, consecrate everything unto God. Because
yes.
you know what? Nothing belongs to you.
Nothing. He said
it
all
belongs to God. And we're so concerned about the tenth when in the New Testament is more than that.
Well.
It's more than that. Because it's from your heart.
Yes.
That giving is from your heart. Don't limit it to 10th. Go on, take it further. And watch God. You cannot beat God in giving. Of yourself nor your resources.
No.
And I believe he'll give you more than he gave Job, double for your trouble. He's going to give you triple. Because he's a God of multiplication. Hallelujah.
How about that? The hundredfold.
There you go. There you go. So I have decided, if you haven't decided as yet, to consecrate my life unto God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yes.
In consecrating our life to the Lord God. Hallelujah. What are you saying? Every day that I live, every day that I breathe, every day that my eyes are open, I will shout hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. And my soul will make her boast in the Lord. For the Lord is good.
Yes.
Can
Amen.
You say that? For the
Amen.
Lord is good.
The Lord is good. Amen.
Hallelujah. This is a wonderful topic. But as I have said before, it's something to teach, but it's something that you have to know and you have to walk in. And it becomes something you have to personally dedicate your life to.
Yes.
Living a godly life, a righteous life, that you might be pleasing in the sight of God. What does that have to do? Believing God, having faith that God will move. Despite what you're in, despite what you're going through, do not listen to the enemy. I was praying this morning and I said, the enemy gets, what is that, when he forgets that he's defeated when he comes messing with the saints of God. So we have to remind him, excuse me, but you're defeated.
Exactly.
Let's keep him in a defeated state. Let's keep our foot on him so that he does not hinder our consecration.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Is there
Thank
any comment
Lord.
On this
well,
subject or anything that was said?
I just think one thing we got to understand, and this too, we make everything so difficult, and we say to ourselves, well, how can I consecrate? Well, the one thing about consecration, we got to even understand God's role in consecration. God
yes.
calls
Play a part.
To be consecrated to him. He wants us to be consecrated to him. So then the ability for us to consecrate ourselves is made possible by God. See, we keep
yes,
thinking we got that we got God, the wonderful thing about God, he has not left anything or any stone unturned. You know what I'm saying? He has put it,
right.
he has made it possible. We just got to do it. He's made it possible because he said himself, he said all holiness comes from him, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is the one that is sanctifying us and setting us apart. We just got to step
exactly.
We got to step in and we have to do it. He's calling for us to be consecrated. So we
Amen.
Gotta get him off.
Mm-hmm. He desires consecration.
Desires.
Because that's where he dwells. You know what? If we all would have a mind and a heart toward consecrating, remember what we were saying, it will become habitual. If everyone was like that, there would be no way that we would mistreat each other.
Exactly.
Having a consecrated mind and heart toward God.
Yes.
Because it brings us together as one.
Yes.
Whenever we're in relationship and connecting with God, we become one with him. And he
exactly.
becomes one with us. We take on his nature, his attributes.
Yes.
And I don't care what anyone says, God is a loving father.
He's a loving father. Yes, he is. And he loves us.
Those that are fatherless, you need to connect with God. And when you have children, he'll teach you how to be a better father.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hear this from my mouth this morning. Some men, this evening, I'm sorry, some men are in the condition they're in because they're without a father, and they're searching for a father. What greater father can there be than God?
Yes. What is it? He said, when your mother and father forsake you, he said, then the Lord will take you up. That's what was that 27th Psalm said that.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Then the Lord will take you up.
Yes.
Which means he'll step in.
He'll step in. That's what that means. But all those fathers, we coming up on Father's Day. You got a father. You got a father, I'm telling you, because he's been one for me.
A father.
My father died when I was 12, and I'm telling you, he's been my father. Yes.
Yes. And I don't have a father in my life, so I got to have the Lord.
Yes.
I got to have him. He teaches me how to be a better father.
Yes.
And that's what you need in your life. If there's a listener out there, you need the Lord. He'll teach
yes.
you how to be a better father. And
yes.
he'll be a father for the fatherless. Amen, somebody.
Amen. Amen. We got about 8 minutes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. In closing, I'd like to say this. This topic of discussion is great for us to teach, but it has to become personal to you.
Yes. Yes.
The Lord has to become real to you.
Yes.
The purpose that he has purposed within himself for you has to become real. Your calling has to become real. Your
yes,
salvation
yes.
has to become real. Your commitment, your intention has to become real. And then you'll find that consecration becomes easy.
Come on. It becomes
when
a part
those
of
things
us.
Become real.
Mm-hmm. You won't mind giving up.
Real, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
You won't mind giving up the old you for the new you. You won't mind
you
giving
won't
it
mind
up.
At all.
Yeah. Right. Like
you
David
won't.
Said, well, yeah, have mercy upon me, O Lord. You know, when he said that in Psalm 6, he said, have mercy upon me, O Lord, God, according to thy loving kindness and according to thy multitude of thy tender mercy. Then he told me, he said, purge me with hidden. Blot out my sins. He wanted God. Yeah. He wanted. He said, then I can turn transgressors your way. Now, look how much we can do when we get the plan of God and we get in the will of God.
Oh, now you're saying something.
Unto him. He said, commit our ways unto him. That's what he told us.
Commit it. Commit it. I make a commitment to be God's man. I make a commitment to be God's woman.
Yes.
Like those Israelites said, we will do what God says.
What God says.
You go back Moses and tell him, we will do.
Yes.
So Nike wasn't the first one to come up with that. Just do it.
God already done it. I said
Israelites already did. We'll do.
Yeah. We'll do what you say.
Whatever you say, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord our God.
I remember when, I get tickled about this all the time, but I remember when Jesus turned the water into wine. What did Mary told him? He said, just do what he says.
Do what he says.
That's what he said.
Why you got to make it complicated?
Yeah, just
do what
he says.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of us will question it, but question it in your prayer time.
Yes. And this is all I know. This is what I do know, Elder Johnson. It's been sweeter with the Lord. I'm telling you, same life has been sweeter with the Lord. All the ups and downs, it's been sweeter with the Lord. That's all I know.
That's all I know also. I will gather the concept of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
When he said, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, what we want to do is always, we want to offer, we thank Elder Dobson for his teaching today. He's been an awesome teaching. Like I said, for those of you that didn't get to hear it on last week, please go back and listen. Put the broadcast out there, and I'll make sure it's out there on my Facebook page and on our Prophets and Souls Facebook page. And, of course, you can always log on to Blog Talk Radio and look for It's a Different Show, the Prophets and Souls broadcast. But one thing we always want to do is make sure that we offer Christ, that we extend an invitation to come into the family of God. And so for those of you out there that's been listening to this lesson, what I want to tell you is that you have an opportunity to go to God. And you just, if you would pray this prayer with me, and I'll try to do it slow so you can do it. But it says, Dear God, I need you. I am humbly calling out to you. I'm tired of doing things my way. Help me to start doing things your way. I invite you into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Fill the empty places in me with your Holy Spirit and make me whole. Help me to trust you. Help me to love you. Help me to live for you. Help my life to be for you. Help me to understand your grace, your mercy, and your peace. Lord, I've been a sinner, but Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart today and save me. And if you have prayed that prayer with me, thank you, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You prayed that prayer for me with me, I believe that you are saved. And I believe, well, we always encourage you to find you a Bible teaching church, go to, so you can be encouraged in the word of the Lord. Surround yourself with the people of God so that you can be encouraged in the word of the Lord and encouraging God. So we want to thank each and every one of you for, I asked Sister Dotson to pray. Let's see what our timeline is because we winding it down. Winding down. We got about 2 minutes, so I'm going to get off here. We encourage each and every one of you to continue on with this teaching. We're going to continue on with consecration next week, and then we'll see where Elder Dotson wants to go from there, and then we'll be coming on. We got more topics. But anyway, Elder Sister Dotson, will you pray us out? And then we thank you all for listening to the Approximate Souls broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. And I know you couldn't see Elder Dotson on Facebook, but you heard his awesome voice and his awesome teaching, because I think it's a teaching that needs to be heard, and he was looking at me, but he was teaching. So God bless you. Elder Sister Dotson.
Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the word that we heard on tonight. Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not only hearers. Help us to consecrate, dear Lord, so that we may be within your dwelling place. Dear God, we thank you. Dear God, I pray that you bless every listener that's out there, and I pray you touch. In the name of Jesus, bless all that are listening, those that will listen. I pray you give them a blessing and protect them throughout the week. In the name of Jesus, for your blessings, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you all for listening to us. We will be back on next week. And like I said, we're talking about seeking God, then we talked about a renewed mind, and then we talked about watching what you say, the power of your words, and now we are talking about consecration. So we want all of you to keep joining us. We're building a path, trying to build a foundation so that people can have something to stand on, because if you don't have no foundation, the wind can toss you to and fro. But anyway, God bless you all, and may God keep you throughout this week, and may his face shine upon you, and you be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you.
God bless you. Amen.